We're joined now by the Territory's Chief Plant Health Manager, Stephen West. Afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am well. We've just heard from John Etty, who was concerned about the fate of his pumpkins. He's lost his watermelon crop. You've just made an announcement. What does it mean to his pumpkin crop?
So what we've identified is we have found the virus in a pumpkin crop, and that detection has occurred on a property that has watermelons that are infected. So we haven't seen a movement to a new area or to we're adding an additional property to the existing quarantines. So to make it very clear, so the property is already under quarantine for watermelons, and now we've identified the virus in the pumpkins on that property. And look, that's not uncommon from the point of view that you've got all the machinery operations, equipment, people movements, vehicle movements, etc., that are all able at some point to move the virus from one infected crop on a property into an adjoining host in some way.
So what does it mean for the pumpkin industry and, say, for someone like John Etty?
Well, what it means for people like John is that it doesn't mean that we're going to now go out and eradicate all pumpkins. One of the things that we've been doing is going back and resurveying now on the infected properties, the other cucurbit hosts that they grow, e.g. pumpkins and other things. So that's been a part of our ongoing surveillance. So we've taken those samples, and I was listening while John was speaking, and yes, he's had further samples taken and he is awaiting results. So
it's not him who has tested positive.
Sorry?
It's not him who has tested positive in the pumpkin crop.
I can't answer that question.
Okay.
On air, I can't discuss anyone's particular situation.
No, fair.
But just to say that it does not mean that all pumpkin crops in the Northern Territory will be eradicated. It means that we've got one property that has infected watermelons, and now we've identified it in the pumpkin crop that was nearby.
So, as the Territory's Chief Plant Health Manager, how much of a concern is it for you that it's now been found in another cucurbit?
Look, I'm not surprised that that's occurred in the context of the property. It would have been a real surprise for us if we'd identified it, in a completely separate property that was completely right out of the process that's currently being run. That would be a surprise. So, look, we're continuing our surveillance activities across the Northern Territory. We're able to say that, the southern end of the Northern Territory, we've been doing all those crops down around Tea Tree, Alikurung, all that's all clean, that's all good. So it's not as though the watermelon industry in the Northern Territory has disappeared. It just means that in these particular properties and the one area in Catherine out of the Venn has been quarantined because that's where we found it. So we're continuing that task of, doing surveillance, checking crops to try to establish how far is it. And I appreciate, John's position and the things that he's talking about. And I and others are having to have some really difficult conversations with people, around all of this. And
I'm sure.
We significantly understand. We don't appreciate all the depths of this, but we significantly understand we are talking about people's livelihoods and their business, and that's never easy. And, it's devastating to be told your property's infected and now you've lost all your hard-earned money and all your work and effort, and you have got the bank banging on the door. So we understand that.
The department's just put out a media release which says a range of additional vegetables have been officially declared as potential host plants for cucumber green mottle mosaic virus in the NT. What does that mean?
Okay. Yes, we have done that. And the reason that, that's been done is because as we continue our surveillance, we want to be in the place of being able to respond rapidly to any further detections in any other crops. So this is a standard part of a process. So once it's been declared as a potential host, it is a host of the virus. And so if we get a detection, then we can immediately put a quarantine on the property. And again, we're seeking to contain it at this point, identify where it is so that we can move to a place of eradication.
Okay. What I'm trying to understand is, say I'm a Vietnamese grower in Darwin's rural area. I'm not in a quarantine zone. What does this all mean to me? What can I expect, Stephen West?
Look, we'll be in the place of conducting surveillance, so they will get a visit from us. And we will be, you know, checking their crop and taking samples, and then, you know, obviously putting that through the laboratory process and then providing them information on that. This declaration doesn't mean that all of those crops are at, you know, are going to be wiped out or anything. It's just a part of the legal process around declaring these are hosts, and so if we get a property, then we can action on that straight away.
You've already been doing a lot of work, a lot of checking of properties, and I understand today you can reveal that there's now an additional quarantine area that's been declared in Marakai, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. We
so what's the story there?
Well, we have had a declaration that was on watermelons, and so it's, I suppose, more of the same in the sense of, you know, a watermelon crop, and it is on a property. It has been gazetted. You know, the owner's been notified of that, obviously, and, you know, we've been working with them around, okay, what does this mean for that particular business?
What's the eradication plan, and can it be eradicated?
Look, we're in the place where we are, and I'll just pick up on, you know, John's comment in relation to, you know, the consultative committee on emergency plant pests.
Yes.
The consultative committee actually met yesterday. And so because of the urgency of all this, the meeting was brought forward. And it might seem that it's a day, but every day counts and things are changing every day in the information the Northern Territory is able to provide. So the Northern Territory is making the decisions around what needs to take place, and the CCPP, that consultative committee, we're providing information to them, and they're assisting us in all of this process. So they met yesterday, and they were in a place of reviewing the information that was available at that point in time.
Yes.
And they are awaiting further information. And so...
But what about on that question, can it be eradicated?
Well, the position around eradication is that, and the process that we put in place on the individual properties is to seek just that. So we're containing the disease, but we're also trying to eradicate it on the individual properties. So so that process that we've directed growers to take is to do that. Now, the big question, and again, John alluded to it, and others have been asking the question, the big question about this is, you know, once you've got rid of the crop, how long will that soil remain infected for? Because yep. The virus is able to stay in the soil. You know, I've continued to say that we will be reviewing that. There's a 2-year quarantine. We will continue to review that. And I don't have to say, if the evidence, the scientific, if we're able to establish from a scientific base the evidence to say that it's less than 2 years that's required because of, let's say, for instance, we're in the Northern Territory, our environment is different, our soils are hotter, we get more rain, the organic matter breaks down quicker, therefore the virus disappears quicker, then that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But 2 years is the position at this point. And look, at the end of the day, we need to, you know, stick to that and then review it. It may, in actual fact, turn out that, and we don't know yet, but it may actually turn out that it might be a bit longer.
Right.
But at this point, we need to continue to work with that. But 2 years on the best science, you know, we've put in place 2 years.
Okay. Just finally, Stephen West, we've seen what's happened with the banana industry, where a lot of properties that aren't infected will be wiped to save the wider industry and to maintain a certain status in the territory. If I'm a melon grower or I'm growing any of these cucurbits that today have been listed, I think I'm worried that I might be treated in the same way. Do we risk a wipeout of these crops to protect the wider Australian industry?
No, I wouldn't have said that that's the case. Definitely not.
Is there something, before I let you go, that you think growers in the territory should know about?
Look, we've sent out an industry update, and we're providing as much information to industry as we can, and we've done that today to support this announcement that's gone on. And we're also encouraging growers to say, look, there are... there's other information that's available on our website. Please go there and have a look, and that there is assistance that people can have as far as around their business. There's some counselling and other business counselling services, other business advice services that are made available free to people to assist them in some of the business decisions that they obviously need to make, like John, you know, and going to talk to the bank, you know, they can get assistance around those processes. So please make yourself available to take those options.
Stephen West, thank you for your time on the country today. It's appreciated.
No worries. Thank you.
Stephen West, he is the Territory's Chief Plant Health Manager. Now, still to come on the Country Hour, it's wonderful to have Faye Miller, the Mayor of Katherine, in the studio to have a chat. Thanks, Faye. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Matt, and thanks, listeners.
I just want to rattle off a couple of things that's happened in the last few months. We've had two iron ore mines in this region go into voluntary administration, and now the issue with this virus. What impacts this all had on Katherine?
Well, this is something that none of us saw coming, of course. Mining is a boom or bust, and can be boom or bust, and we weren't expecting it to be quite bust that quickly.
Yeah.
But for the vegetables, for the melons, and now adding to that the pumpkins, that's just devastating. It's really devastating for this region. It's even more devastating for those growers. And, you know, my heart just goes out to them. It's just such a long haul for them, and it's just so... it's so depressing for them. I mean, it's their livelihood, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something we've always prided ourselves on in this region of having...
And it's been growing, hasn't it, Faye?
Absolutely, sort of absolutely. Mm.
Can I ask for your own personal thoughts on how it's been handled by the Department of Primary Industry and such?
Well, I think considering it's a new virus, I think they've handled it very well. I mean, it must put them in a dreadful position to have to give this dreadful news, you know, to the growers. There's no doubt about it. And to also tell them what the consequences are and how they're going to eradicate it, because we obviously have nothing to follow around Australia. So we've got to set the benchmark here in the Territory. It is a really challenging one for the industry, and it's certainly for the department.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple of the guys talking, and I thought, that must be just the hardest thing.
It's not the only thing on their plate. They've got the banana freckle
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm trying to get a sense of around town, like, say, all of the backpackers. Now, instead of picking melons, I don't know what they're doing. Are you noticing that impact in town?
Well, I haven't seen as many of them around. Hopefully nothing will happen to the mango industry.
No, it's fine. It's going
that
okay.
One's fine. Yeah. That was because we've always been... definitely pest-free and definitely free of all things for our mango, so I hope that continues. But it certainly will have a marked effect. It'll have a flow-on effect to the town, and not only in attracting backpackers here and for work for them, that's a flow-on to the tourism industry. It's a flow-on to health. It's a flow-on to education,
yeah,
and all the retail industry as well. And, of course, for the growers, it's also irrigation, it's hardware. It is just... actually devastating, yeah, the more you look at it.
Well, on the service providers, you think of the people that provide the fertiliser, chemicals, the trucking companies. Right. We were hoping to have some of these people on the Country Hour, and hopefully our listeners can appreciate that a lot of these are quite big companies, and the local rep's not in a position to talk on such a sensitive topic.
Mm.
But someone was telling me something simple as back freight. So a truck that brings up all sorts of goodies for the people of Katherine and Darwin relies on picking up melons for the back freight. That's how they make a bit of extra money. All of a sudden, if that's missing, the price of those goods to come up in the first place has to go up a
absolutely
bit more.
Absolutely. It is. It's just that ongoing, that flow-on effect that people don't realise. They just don't realise. I thought John said it very well when he said, just really appreciate, you know, what we can go into the supermarket and buy. Because,
thank you, farmers.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely farmers. Thank you. I come off the farm. I come from a farm in South Australia, and I watched my dad go through droughts. And look, I really know, we never went hungry, ever, because we went to the ocean. You know, Dad always went fishing. But I can see the impact that this is going to have on our local people here, and truly, I really feel for them. I have no idea what this community can do to help them, but I know that they've got a long road ahead. I really do know they have a long road ahead.
Faye Miller, thanks for your time on the Country Hour today.
Thanks very much,
Matt. We appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Faye Miller there, the Mayor of Katherine. That's where we're broadcasting from today. Across the Territory, this is the Country Hour. I'm joined now by Dr. Jessica Lai, who is AusVeg's Biosecurity Coordinator. AusVeg is the leading horticultural body representing Australia's 9,000 veggie and potato growers. Afternoon, Dr. Jessica.
How are you going, Matt? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for your time. AusVeg is offering support to growers. In what way?
Yeah, that's right. Well, AusVeg is taking an active role in limiting the spread of the virus, and we're liaising with relevant government bodies on this issue. We're providing advice with stakeholders such as the growers and the Northern Territory Farmers Association. And we're also doing our utmost to provide up-to-date information regarding the current status of the pest to the parties just as quickly as we possibly can.
Because in the cucurbit family, what falls under the AusVeg banner? Because my understanding was you guys don't necessarily deal with melons and such.
No, that's right. The ones that we need to be aware of at the moment are the zucchini, so they fall under the summer squash banner, and also the cucumbers.
Yeah. Now, we've got a lot of the Asian growers in Darwin's rural area. They are members of AusVeg and they're signatories to the National Plant Health Deed. Can you tell us what that means in terms of perhaps being eligible for compensation and reimbursement, that type of thing?
Yeah, well, look, Matt, just at this stage, as the full extent of the pest incursion has yet to be elucidated, and surveillance activities are continuing, and this includes testing other cucurbit crops to assess the host range of this particular strain of CGMMV. As the situation continues to be assessed and more information comes forward and the situation moves forward, AusVeg will be communicating with relevant cucurbit growers and will be certainly keeping them updated just as new information comes to light.
And just quickly, can I get your thoughts on how you think this has all been handled?
Well, various quarantine measures have been put into place by the NTDPIF. These quarantine measures are quite strict. They involve restricting movement of infected host species from properties and also restricting movement of vehicles and equipment from these properties. As you would know, the seed testing measures did come into play this week, and these testing measures relate to cucurbit seeds, and also processes are underway to control the threat. And AusVeg is doing all that we can within that framework to assist these growers at this time.
Jessica Lai, thanks so much for your time on our Country Hour today. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Just Jessica Lai there from AusVeg.